Basically, the question is, I'm a small company business associate. Do I really have to do all the compliance requirements of HIPAA?
Yes.
Okay, next question.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. So, Donna, how's it going?
So, your draws.
Oh, man. So, it's been a fun week dealing with a lot of stuff. How about you?
It's been a very hectic and interesting week. Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
So you have those things that you can't talk about it until later on down the road. Mm-hmm. So it's like I have to make a note. Okay, she was frustrated this week. Ask her about it in another 3 or 4 months and see if she can tell me why. So she's off retainer yet.
No. You know, if it's public information, it's public information, and yeah, then I can talk about it, but not until then.
So this is the last podcast before our HIPAA bootcamp. So I want to remind all the listeners about that. If you're interested in the HIPAA bootcamp, you can go to thehippabootcamp.com, get all the information there. This will be the last week that you can sign up as you're listening, if you're listening to when it comes out. And then we'll be making that happen here near the end of August. And then, I've got the Unconvention coming up in Washington, D.C. So I'll be there speaking on compliance as well and some things that have nothing to do with compliance. But
somehow it'll wrap back around. You know it always does.
Yeah, it will. Well, somehow or another. But so I'm kind of excited about doing that. It's going to be a fun little thing to do. I've already had some IT people reach out and tell me they're going to be there and they're excited and all that. And I say, great.
So I like the name. It's the DC Unconvention.
Yeah.
It's not a convention. It's just a get together. And so you do that September 16th and 17th. And mm-hmm. then the next week, September 22nd, I'm at the Georgia HFMA Care Forum, which is about compliance that they do each year. And then in October, the North Metro MGMA chapter in Kennesaw. And then in November, I have a week in November where I just decided to do some crazy things. And like 3 days in a row, different conferences. And I know, I don't get that. Why did I do that? Georgia HFMA Fall Institute is November 8th when I will be there, Reynolds Plantation at Lake Oconee, which is really cool. And then 2 days later, I'm speaking in Callaway Gardens at the Georgia Association of Orthopedic Executives. So looking forward to all of those. And then, woo, what a year we've had.
Yeah, I know. It won't be too much longer before we start booking into 2018.
Yeah.
So that's going to be some fun stuff. So, but today we're going to talk about some questions that have come in, and we're getting a lot more questions a lot quicker than we used to. But some of these are really good, and they give us a lot of things to look at as far as what to put out there for content. And one of the ones we had come in was very interesting about whether or not a doctor could use an Amazon Alexa device in an operating room. And now you tell us, because this came in to your business. So how was it that they wanted to actually use the device?
Well, the doctor, you know, a lot of the doctors, they like having music on and it helps them focus. And, you know, when I'm writing or developing stuff, I have music I listen to normally. Doctors are no different, but they wanted to put an Alexa in the OR, you know, and have it in their office where they could say, Alexa, play blah, 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 blah. And they could, you know, because they're kind of busy with their hands. And the whole concept of that seems on the surface really cool because we mm-hmm. watch the commercials and Alexa do this and Alexa do that. and it's awesome. However, I had to say, no. No, you cannot have it in an OR. You do not have to need to have it anywhere where conversations about patients will take place.
Because we know, personally.
This way doesn't know. This way is not getting anywhere near them. Everybody's like, don't you want one? No.
Yeah, so I have had an I have the Echo Dot, so it's a little small one. And you and I were actually, we were either on a conversation or we were recording. I can't remember which.
We were recording.
Yeah, so we were recording a podcast during the time that I had this because I no longer have the device. And we're just sitting there talking and all of a sudden, it you know, says something like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said. And I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't even say Alexa or the command for it to start listening. So it's obviously listening all the time.
Well, that's what it kind of has to do so that it knows when you want something and it needs to kind of be listening all the time. Mm-hmm. And so the device is sitting there. And as I recall, it was like all of a sudden it started talking to you and you're like, Alexa off. And then she started giving you answers to questions you didn't ask. You know, your wife's birthday is blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I know I was listening on the other end going, what is that thing doing? And so, but the way that it works is that it sits there and the device is monitoring for its command. So it listens for Alexa and then the command that you're giving it. And when the device hears that command, those words that it knows, it captures a certain amount of information that it records it all along. So it sends the last few seconds before it heard it. And then the few seconds after that is it goes to the Amazon cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And then their speech recognition stuff processes it. And then it sends the commands back to the device for it to answer. The problem with that is you've got those recordings, and as it records things and listens to things, and so in that case where it listens and it decides you needed information, you're going to get information from me right now. That means that all of that conversation was going and being stored in the Amazon cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually go up there, you can log into your Amazon account, go to your recordings, and review and go see what it's picking up. And there's some articles where people have gone and done that, and they weren't, you know, it recorded phone calls. You know, here's me discussing some, you know, business thing, and I wasn't talking to Alexa at all, just like in your case. And supposedly it's just like a couple of seconds, but apparently there's been more than that, mm-hmm. You know, that the device decided it heard more or needed more information. I don't know what makes it decide how much, but it's getting up there and it's being stored in the Amazon cloud and being processed by the Amazon resources.
Right.
Well, and Amazon makes it clear, this stuff is not covered by HIPAA. We mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it is, but it's not under our HIPAA processes in the Amazon, you know, ecosystem. But when they say clearly, don't put HIPAA stuff on here, and then you say, hey, I'm going to talk about a surgery or my client, my patients in my office, and so it's listening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, in have you seen that case in Arkansas? I think it's in Arkansas.
Yeah, where there was a murder case and they subpoenaed the Alexa recordings for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they want to hear what Alexa recorded during the time frame of this. A party was going on and somebody was killed. And so they have subpoenaed the Alexa information. So, you know, Alexa's testifying in court.
So you might want to keep one in your home, just saying.
No. You know, it's like the whole idea of, you know, I was at an expo earlier this year and somebody was asking me, they were giving one away and they were trying to get me to buy tickets to a raffle. And I'm like, no, I don't want one of those. I'll give you money. Just don't put a ticket in for me. I don't want that thing. And, oh, well, why not? And I explained this to them, that in order for it to respond, it has to listen to what you're saying And when it get, you know, tell them the whole thing. And I was like, it's also why I don't use OK Google and I don't use Hey Siri. I turn mm-hmm. those things off. Wait, what they said? Wait, what? So you mean it's always listening and it could be recording my stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, what kind of phone do you have? Well, they whip out their iPhone. I said, have you made a point of turning off Hey Siri? Mm-mm. All right, then say, Hey Siri, blah, 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 and ask it something. And when it did, you should have seen their face. Man, it was awesome. I almost wet my pants. I was laughing so hard because I thought they were going to drop their phone. They were so surprised to see that that's what it was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, yeah, I turn off all that stuff. And still, yeah. I'm paranoid that it still might be listening, even though I told it not to.
You know, the interesting thing that is that when this happened with TV sets a few years ago, you remember that? Mm-hmm. You know, the TVs are now listening, and everybody had a cow about this. They did, because I know I'm a Southerner, but there was so much uproar about, oh, your TV's listening and recording all this information, all that. Well, you know, fast forward a few years, now our phones are doing that, and we're buying these devices that play music that do that, and everybody's like, okay, no problem. What's the deal?
Yeah, we've become conditioned to that. And while there's no case of a remote hack of an Amazon Alexa device, however, just this week, I want to say, at a hacker conference, they showed that if you had physical access to the device and a lot of other things lined up, they could hack that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're doing it that way, then they, you know, they're after it, you know. I mean, everybody is.
There's I'd buy things online a good bit. And one of the things I like doing is looking at local things online. I used to buy off Craigslist, but I don't really much anymore because there's so many scammers on there. But here recently, I've been buying stuff off Facebook because you can. There's a Facebook area now where people post things for sale, and I'm seeing a ton of people that are selling Amazon TV devices, the Amazon Fire. Is that what it's
called? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So they're selling those devices now. There's also people that are selling the Dots and all this Amazon other stuff too. But my point I'm trying to make is, if you're buying things from an individual like that, there's some likelihood that it could be hacked when you buy it. So it's not that you have to say, well, I've got this device in my office, and unless somebody breaks in, they're not going to hack my device because they're not going to have physical access to it. But in some cases, they had physical access to it before you bought it. So you keep that in mind, especially these Amazon Fire TV things, the sticks, because they actually, most of these things are hacked before you get them to get all the quote-unquote free channels. You know, they're doing things like that, which is another whole funny story, but basically a lot of people are going to find out when they get all this free TV stuff at some point, they may have somebody knocking on their door because you're not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
But they're selling those things like crazy. But my point is, you are buying devices all the time that can be hacked before you even purchase them.
Well, you're buying them because they're hacked.
Yeah, in that case, you are. But you know? even buying, and we've seen this with other things, but even buying any kind of used equipment, whether it's laptops or copiers mm-hmm. or things like that, there's all types of equipment that people buy. I just had a conversation with a prospective client earlier this week, and they were showing me where they had bought these refurbished and used laptops, and they were so proud that they saved money. But I'm like, okay, did you wipe them clean and start fresh? And I'm like, no, we just erased what we didn't want. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, we'll address that if you hire me. But right now, let's just say that's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I want to hack into a doctor's office, I don't have to get all crazy tech with it. I can just take something that I've already took the time to hack at home and then just probably fairly easily find a way just to give it to somebody. And they're going to take it in there and put it in that environment.
Well, yeah, it's yeah. You know, it's that whole perception. It's all of that you just covered between the TV freaking people out and then now they're okay. It's this whole perception that, yeah, technology is great, but I don't have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just get it. And, you know, the rest of us know what that you're implying there. And they're going to be really up in arms when it backfires.
Yeah.
I can't believe Well, I can't believe you didn't think of it.
Yeah. You know? Well, there's a default level of trust because you're thinking, this is Amazon, and if it was that bad or whatever, nobody would be using them and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you have to consider it. You have to understand what this device is capable of doing, and then where would you want that to be used that's reasonable and appropriate, not just in your practice, but just in your life period. Do you even want it at home? Mm-hmm. You know, you have to think about all those things. We talked, was it last week? We talked about the Roomba vacuum cleaner thing.
Yeah, mapping your area.
Right. It's mapping your home out because it has to figure out where your furniture is and all that so that it knows the corners and where to go and all that. Well, where do you think it's sending that information? It's mapping that and putting it online somewhere, which the whole point of the article was that places like Amazon and all that are going to start looking at that information to decide whether or not you need to buy furniture.
Yeah.
Or you have a couch, or you don't have a couch, or you have a recliner or whatever. And so they can start using that to push ads toward you. But, okay, but that means somebody's also mapping out what you have in your house, where it's located, where your rooms are. You just have to, even though it's something that you may be using at home, it's like I say this before, I have to do risk assessments all the time in my personal life.
Yeah.
Usually it's because I'm opening my mouth, but...
And you don't do them very well then.
Listen here.
Look at him.
Look at him. So this is one of the same things. You just have to decide, do you want to accept the risks that come with this? You know, whether it's a TV that might be watching you, and they're even speaking about watching you, isn't there now the device, the Alexa device that has the camera in it now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And another note is Alexa talks to Roomba.
Yeah. Go back to my floor.
Alexa, have Roomba start vacuuming. Yeah, Alexa, order cereal. It's a cute commercial, but combine all of that and, you know, your privacy's gone. And all these people, it's unfortunate that we have to worry about those things, but to bring it back around, putting those things in a healthcare environment, that's a no. You know, it's just like, no, no. No. Once you understand how they work, no. You know, and again, I would love to have the functionality, but I can't. My paranoia won't allow me to have those things.
Yeah.
If it's testifying in court, which is essentially what Alexa's going to testify in court, because I can't imagine why they would say, oh, well, the subpoena, you can't get that. It's, you know, it's property of the people at the house and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see. But either way, it can be subpoenaed. it's not something that means there's nothing to worry about. So no, don't. If you've got one of these things in your office, get it out. Get out. Get out.
My wife swears up and down, and I don't disagree with her. But we've tried to prove the theory, but she swears up and down that her phone hears her conversations because she could be talking about something so obscure and within 24 hours start seeing ads on Facebook for something she was discussing with somebody.
You know, it's a hacked phone. You never know.
Yeah.
And with your wife, there's no telling.
Yeah.
You know, she could be going to places that could have that happen to her. You know, it's just
So the next question, very interesting question, I thought, which was, is it a HIPAA violation if I work for a doctor's office and I'm looking at my own medical records or that of my kids, you know, because I'm an employee of the doctor's office, but they're also my personal records. So, you know, what does HIPAA say about that? Do I have the right to just go in and look at them? Or because I'm an employee, do I fall under, you know, some other access rights?
Yeah, this is an email from a listener. So do you have that email, David?
I can get it right quick.
Yeah, and I didn't even think I have it there to read. We generally try to give them the thank yous. But as far as HIPAA privacy protections themselves, it doesn't say that you can't look at your own records. It says that we're supposed to protect the privacy of the records and that the providers are allowed to do that in a manner that they believe protects the patient. So that means that the providers can set the policies that they believe are best for their patients and their business. It is reasonable and appropriate in their environment for them to say, we don't want you looking at your own records, just like we don't just say when a patient asks for their records, here, let me bring it up and show you the screen. There's a limit to the amount of information that is normally included in medical records for many reasons. And that is why many of the providers have those internal policies that say you can't look at your own record. And from a privacy standpoint now, looking at your family records, you shouldn't be doing that either. But the rule is, if you don't have a specific treatment, payment, or healthcare operation activity that gives you the reason to view the record, then you're not supposed to be doing it. So it doesn't say specifically you can't look at your own. What it says is you shouldn't be looking at this record unless you're involved in treatment, payment, or healthcare operations. So if you just want to pull your own records or pull your kids' records or whatever, you're not involved in treatment, payment, or healthcare operations of yourself.
Right.
Under your job. So technically, that is why those rules are in place. But does it specifically say you can't look at your own? No. What it's saying, though, is more than likely, if you're looking at your own records, that's not why you're looking. One of the approved reasons. So you're supposed to protect your own privacy from yourself. So yes and no, as far as what does HIPAA say, it becomes that interpretation. And I've heard many people argue, well, it doesn't say I can't look at my own stuff. Yes, but my question is, why are you looking? Because based on the reason that you are looking, you know, if your doctor says, hey, look and see what I prescribed for you, then it becomes part of treatment, right? The doctor is working with you as their staff member and telling you to look at your own record. Mm-hmm. But they're specifically saying, look at your prescriptions. So you get into that, you know, what am I protecting myself from myself? But technically, that's why the policies are in place to say you can't look at your own record and you certainly don't need to look at the records of your family. But if you're actively involved in treating yourself or your family, then that's a different story. Or you're actively involved in billing your own insurance, that's a different story. But again, you should only be looking at the parts that you need to do that part of your job.
So it's a fact-specific case.
As always, most of the things with HIPAA is it'll be a fact-specific determination. So yes, it is a violation of internal policy, but that internal policy is set based on that requirement of privacy. So the blanket statement of you can't look at your own records, that part is internal, but the reason behind saying you can't look at your own records is that, you know, you're not supposed to do it unless you're part of TPO. So the bigger question is that fact-specific part of why are you looking at your own records? If it's TPO, then it should be allowed. And it technically isn't a violation of HIPAA, but a lot of places will just make that blanket statement because who's going to figure that part out, right? You know?
Yeah.
And until people really deploy those monitoring, you know, and I can't ever come up with it, but the folks at Sphere, you know, they have the thing that monitors the access. And until people come up, you know, and start utilizing those kind of tools, most people think, oh, well, no one's ever going to know. Mm-hmm. Because if they're auditing access to records, it's not going to be my own unless I bring it up. And so they assume that these policies are just in the way to make their lives harder. And that, particularly in healthcare, I know I can treat myself. I don't need to answer anybody else. But technically, it depends on the situation and how the policies are written. And if the policy says that you cannot look at your own record, period, that is just an internal part. But if it says you cannot look at your own record unless you're involved in TPO, then that's a HIPAA part.
Right.
So, and yes and no.
It's a fact-specific determination.
Yes.
So, I don't know who sent that in. They didn't leave a name on the email. So, they will remain anonymous.
Well, actually.
Unless their name
you
is
You look
Thanks.
At the details.
I did.
It shows you, if you look at the contact header. It shows you their email address.
Oh, yeah, I have their email address. They didn't leave their name.
It's not so on their email address. Okay.
Right. Unless it's, yeah, it's cryptic. So, anyway.
All right.
I go under the assumption they don't want to be mentioned if they don't put their name. But anyway, yeah, that was a good question.
And they said they do enjoy listening to the podcast and reviewing our site. So, there's stuff on our site. Oh, this is a good time to mention the new stuff on the site.
Oh, yeah, because if you were listening last week, you know that Donna gave me work to do. She gave me a homework assignment. So, but yeah, if you go to, we were talking last week about the OCR's new breach notification portal, which we like to call the Wall of Shame. But you can't say that out loud. But anyway, instead of linking you to that, we've now brought it into the actual site. So if you go to helpmewithhipaa.com and hover over our resources menu button, you'll see now that it says OCR breach portal. And if you click on that, the breach portal will actually load right there on the site.
Yeah. So you don't have to go looking around for the wall of shame. We'll just bring it to you.
We brought the wall to you.
And another important thing that we have, and it's I think we're getting close, is that we will soon be launching the Help Me with HIPAA app so that you so you can go to the app store and download Help Me with HIPAA app, and you'll have all kinds of tools there. So we are at this time waiting for approval in all of the processes that you have to go through to get into the app stores, but we will be in the iOS, the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, will even be available for the Amazon devices. So,
Alexa, play Help Me with HIPAA.
Oh, now we might need it, but she would be able to do it. So, that we'll is something if you have
one. Donna would be like, yeah, you need one of the devices in the OR as long as you're listening to the podcast.
That's right. Yeah. And we're telling you not to have one of these in the OR. But those are the two big things, the Help Me with HIPAA website and the soon to have Help Me with HIPAA app. So that you don't have to have a podcasting app to worry about. Because we have a lot of people, I don't know how to listen to podcasts or I don't know how to do podcasts. Fine. Everybody knows how to do an app. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to, once we have it, we'll be able to potentially add some additional features. But it will let you mark like your favorite episodes so that you can go back to them. And there's links and stuff that we'll be able to send. So I'm looking forward to additional tools that will be available to us.
Cool. Me too. So that brings us to another question that we had come in. And this one I hear a lot. Basically, the question is, I'm a small company business associate. And do I really have to do all the compliance requirements of HIPAA?
Yes.
Okay. Next question.
Actually, this question and the following question, the next question, I actually called up our contacts at OCR and just had a conversation to say, you know, how do you really look at these situations? We know they exist, and how do you look at them? And on this particular one, it's, you know, if you're a business associate, you're a business associate. You can't necessarily try to say, well, we're this hybrid entity, so we don't need policies and procedures everywhere because the business needs them. Maybe if you're a subsidiary and only that subsidiary needs it, but you don't have all of those complexities. You're either a business associate or not. And if you sign the agreement, then you are obligated to meet the conditions of the agreement. And so the investigator says, and shout out to Emily, thanks. First thing we're going to ask for is, what's your business associate agreement say? You know, if there's ever a question, what does your business associate agreement say you will do? Well, that's what you have to do. And if that says, which most of them do, that you will abide by the HIPAA security rule and the minimum uses and disclosures rule, there's no more discussion. You know, yes, you said in that agreement, that is what you're going to do. Didn't say, I'm only going to do little bitty pieces. And it didn't say, I'm only going to do this, this, and this. It's saying you're going to do the whole rule. And unless you negotiate something different in your business associate agreement, you are contractually obligated to meet those requirements. And then on the flip side of that, the law says, even if you didn't sign that, you are still liable as a business associate simply by doing that work. So they kind of got rid of that loophole that a lot of people were like, well, I didn't sign a BAA, so that makes me, you know, not a business associate. That doesn't matter anymore. It just makes you more in trouble. So, but the point was, you know, we do apply our enforcement in a reasonable manner, and we look at everything, including the resources available, the size of the company, and all those things in our enforcement process and our investigation process. So that being said, they will take into account how tiny you are. So if your documentation reflects how tiny you are, mm-hmm. you know, all right, I'm a self-employed contractor. I have no employees. My sanction policy is going to be kind of limited. You know, and can you know who are you going to yell at? Myself. I'm going to have that conversation right there in the mirror. So, you know, they're going to take that into account. They're going to realize those kind of things. But you still need to have written policies and procedures that say, that show you've studied this stuff and you understand it, and you need to get regular training and review your stuff regularly. You know, we're a small company. We do that. I absolutely get irritated when Krista sends me things saying, you need to do your review. I've told you 2 weeks ago, do your review. Are you freaking Jeremy?
Like I ain't got nothing else to do. But or like, you know, when I get the business associate due diligence forms coming in, I'm like, I just filled this thing out yesterday, I think. I know it's been a year ago, but still, it's like, I got to do this again.
Yes. Yes, you do.
So, yeah, I mean, when we say we understand the frustrations, we understand the frustrations. Mm-hmm.
But we do the work.
We do the work.
You know, I pretty much assume that, like any other business associate, if you came in and I wasn't doing my job, it would ruin my reputation. You know, it would ruin my business. It would be over. And a lot of business associates don't realize that's the dire situation you're in if you're electing not to do this work. Is that it could just put you out of business because your reputation is ruined. Mm-hmm. I may not be perfect, and I will never claim to be perfect. However, I'm making every effort I can to stay up to date on my own compliance, along with working with my customers and the consulting gigs and all that stuff. So, yes, you have to do it, but you know, do what's reasonable and appropriate in your environment. That's what the rules say.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a single business, you know, you're the only employee, and you know, if you need time off, sanction yourself. Give yourself 3 days off with pay.
Yeah.
and then there you go. Okay, so the next one you said that came out of the same conversation.
Well, yeah, we've had this conversation. We had another one recently on the HIPAA for MSPs office hours and coaching calls, mm-hmm. which is, you know, part of that program where we coach and teach IT providers through HIPAA for MSPs, David's company, how to handle HIPAA in their environment and with their customers. Mm-hmm. So one of the conversations we've had repeatedly is if I know my upstream BA or upstream CE isn't following their HIPAA compliance obligations, what am I legally obligated to do? Mm-hmm. And it really hits IT companies hard because our job as technical people is to go in there and look and see at what they're doing and know, well, these are the things you're supposed to do to secure things under the law, and you're not doing it. And then we give you the proposal to do it, and you say, I'm not doing it. I don't care about HIPAA or HIPAA schmIPAA. You know, you get those responses all over the place. And so what, you know, am I creating a liability for myself for actually having this client? And it's a very tough place that all of technical companies, IT, MSPs, those kind of things, I know you struggle with it.
Yeah. And for me, it's not, I mean, I don't worry so much about their liability falling over on me. Like if they decide they're not going to do it, I don't worry about myself getting in trouble. But what I do worry about is them causing a problem to where I get pulled into an audit or something else where I don't have the time and resources to even have to deal with that, especially whenever it could be multiple clients doing this, you know, on an annual basis. I mean, I would have to hire a team just to handle audits that I get pulled into. And so that's a liability I don't want to have to take on. And if I do, then I'm not sure how.
Finger pointing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's definitely going to take place. And that's why we document everything, because, you know, it's going to be, oh, you didn't tell me that, or I didn't know I need this, or, you know, I thought we told you to take care of that. And I'm like, So, and we do try to stay on top of clients as much as we can about making the decision. But at the end of the day, it is their business, and it's their business decision how they want to handle that. It's a very tough one for us, because just speaking for myself, I don't like coming in and trying to make people spend money. So some IT companies don't have a problem with that. Me, I really try to look at things from a business owner, small business owner's perspective, where I don't want to spend any more money than I have to make things function. But at the same time, I have to have these things in place because they protect patients and they protect data and they protect my business.
Yeah, and that's kind of our standard response and advice to these companies is, number one, make sure you document clearly that you have tried to direct them the right way, and that you've given them proposals that are reasonably priced. It's not like you came in and said, it's going to cost you $100,000 to install antivirus, unless it truly would, they're that big of an organization. And then you've got a whole new problem if they're that big and they don't want to follow a security rule. But it's the smaller ones that you're generally in, and they don't have a real understanding of what they're supposed to do. And when you come in with these proposals, you got to give them, here's the bare minimum. And if they still elect to only do, not even do the bare minimum, you know you've got a problem, and you need to document every conversation, every single thing that you do. And I would even go so far as to tell them, look, this is a problem. It's creating a liability for me. So I need you to know I'm going to have to document a lot of things, and I'm going to ask you to sign things that say you understand I've explained this to you and you've decided not to do it. And I think that is the best advice. And then, you know, you look at the law, and it says that a covered entity has the choice if they go to hire a business associate and the business associate is not electing to follow the rules. And, you know, they may sign a BAA, but then they tell you they have no intentions of doing the work. And that happens. I'll sign this, but I'm not doing it. I'm telling you right now. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. You have choices that are written into the guidance or the law that says, you know, choice number one, you know, try to get them to do the right thing. Choice number two is find somebody else. And choice number three is, if you can't find somebody else, is there a reason that you can't go somewhere else? Then you need to notify HHS and let them know that you're having to use a business associate that refuses to do what's required. Well, you also have, in the law, it says under the new high tech stuff where business associates are required, it says anywhere it says covered entity, assume it means business associate. So now we could apply that requirement under the business associate as saying, if I have a business associate that I'm working for, but it doesn't actually say a covered entity. So it gets kind of squirrely, and, you know, everybody tries to find loopholes in the law. But the bottom line is, when I was talking to our investigator friend, her point was, let me explain that a vast majority of my workload right now is that IT companies have turned in and filed complaints trying to protect themselves, probably, filed complaints saying, we know they're not following HIPAA. So all you people who are telling your IT people, HIPAA schmippa, you need to keep in mind they have to protect themselves too. So it is a fine line in the law about what they can do to protect themselves. And many of them elect to go so far as to say, I'm going to turn you in.
Wow.
Yeah. And, it is an option, and we've already, it's the same option that a covered entity has. You try to get them to get in line, you find somebody else, or you report them. Well, you know, from a business perspective, you pay your bills. I want you as a client, but I don't want your liability. Do I walk away? Do I report you and walk away? So it's a tough call, but apparently, let's just say there is a large workload on at least one investigator's desk in the Southeast alone that relates to this.
Mm-hmm.
So wake up, folks. Every time you tell the IT people they're idiots, they're not. Always just going to take your word for it. They've got a business to protect. Whether you care about yours or not, they care about theirs.
Phew.
I know.
Yeah, because, I mean, this can open up a can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible loop.
It is.
It is. And, you know, fortunately, I've not had to be in that loop, and I hope I don't have to be in that loop.
Mm-hmm. I've chosen to walk away.
Yeah.
Once I started seeing how bad it was, I walked away.
Yeah, but I can see where this could be a huge problem. Mm-hmm. I can also see where there could be people who know that you're not doing the right thing. And even if they're not handling your IT, they may go, well, if they're not going to hire us to do their IT, then we'll just put some pressure on them.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other side, is you don't know if it's retaliatory or what.
Right. Yeah, you don't. But I would imagine not everyone. I mean, as many as that person says they have, I doubt they're all retaliatory.
Oh, so. No. I mean, you and I both know from our conversations with HIPAA for MSPs, mm-hmm. it is a major problem. It is happening everywhere. And even I was just reviewing in an audit yesterday where the client says, hey, this practice says, hey, I've got my ducks in a row. And when we audit them, what they send us includes documentation from the IT company saying, we have repeatedly told you, you should mm-hmm. be doing this, and you're not. They're documenting it. And it's not triggering. I don't know what the deal is, but there's, you know, it's a very complicated situation for anybody that is an IT vendor in today's environment in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So all you folks out there that think you don't have to do it and you can tell your IT people, you don't worry about HIPAA, their liability is starting to catch up with them and they're getting paranoid. And they should be. They should be. In a lot of cases, they very well could lose their business.
Yep. So just do what's required of you and be done with it.
Yeah, well, it's doing the right thing. It's not even about the law anymore. As bad as, you know, how many times do we have to talk about what horrible things happen to people? Because somebody didn't do their job to protect it. All right, so our last little quick thing is a story in the news today that made me think of things. And actually, right here in Tucker, not too far from here, there's an office complex that an electronics company was broken into. And so, you know, I was paying attention. It's just nearby. And they had a video. It turned out it was a video company. They specialized in security video. So they have pristine pictures of these criminals. They already got one of them. I bet you they'll have the other one before the end of the day because it's just a perfect picture, which is kind of silly. But here's the thing is, these folks that broke in apparently had gone to the facility and been there to interview for a job, and they had signed in on the visitor log. And that had their names, because, you know, you have to show your ID in a lot of these places. If you focus on security, I know that we do worry about those things when we're working with our clients. It's not so much a problem in my office. It's a virtual one, but we have many cases where people keep those logs. And I go into these huge high-rises, you know, with towers of all kinds of secure environments, and they have security guards downstairs, and you have to fill out the log. And it's just a record of who's coming in and out of the offices. Well, these criminals were smart enough that they cased the place with their interview and actually went straight for the computers in the HR department. So clearly, that's what they thought. And then on their way out, they grabbed the little visitor log page that had their signatures on it and their names on it and ripped it out of the little notebook. And it made me go, I've never asked all the people that have those little login forms, where do they put them? Or do they just keep the little notebook? Are they making copies of it so that this same thing could happen? Because now the criminals are doing it. If one of them does it, you know, they're all doing it. And it's, let me go into your offices for some reason. I'll even show who I am and blah, blah, blah. But then I'll take the visitor log so that you have no record of any of that. And if I'm going to the trouble to make the records, we need to be, you know, you can take a picture with a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a picture, and this is the visitor log. It's not the patient log. So you could take a picture with a smartphone every day and file that. You could scan it. You can lock it into a cabinet. But you need to keep those copies somewhere. So you need to start developing that plan. And you know, all of my clients out there, I'm going to be asking. So it was interesting, though. You know, you're just reading the news, and all of a sudden you're like, I never thought of what a criminal would do with that, but it makes complete sense.
I guess you need to hire more criminals.
I know, really.
Help me break into this.
I need an ex-black hat that wants to be a white hat, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're done, buddy.
All right. Great. Good show. So we'd like to thank everybody for listening to today's podcast. And also, I ask that you share it out if you enjoyed it so we have more and more people that become exposed to all the awesome information that I put together and give on a weekly basis.
Thought
you like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you can also review us on iTunes and Stitcher and find us on social media, share it out there. Don't forget the HIPAA Boot Camp. This is the last week we can talk about it before it goes live. So go on over to thehippabootcamp.com. Check out information there. If you have any questions about it, email us at contact@helpmewithhippa.com, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. So remember, for myself and Donna, that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhippa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.